Blog Talk Radio.
So I had just finished my walk around Buttonwood Park, and I was headed back to my car when I spotted Ken. Ken's 50 years old and...
So I get asked all the time, Carlton, how long should I keep my receipts? Do I have to keep my receipts? Is there a way I can just throw them away? How long can the IRS audit me for? Do you know the rule of thumb on how long I need to keep my W-2s and my books and records? That is a question that comes up all the time. How you doing, guys? My name is Carlton Dennis. Welcome back to Taxes Made Simple. And in this segment, we are going to go over what is the easiest way to do your bookkeeping and accounting. I want to make sure that bookkeeping and accounting is simple for you. So it's simple for us accountants when we're actually filing your tax returns. It makes our life a lot easier. And trust and believe, it makes your life easier and it keeps more money in your pocket. Let's get started. The most important aspect to growing your business is making sure that you're utilizing the money in your business to continue to grow the business. But it's pretty hard to be able to keep that money if you're not accounting for all of your expenses. The reason why you can't keep a majority of this business income is if you aren't accounting for all of your expenses, you could be overpaying on your tax returns. The most monumental thing about tracking expenses is so that you have a recollection of what happened throughout the year. But I first want to dive into some really funny, cool stories to share with you guys to let you know a little bit more about why record keeping is so important.
Story time.
I had a taxpayer come to me in the year of 2017, and she had just started her new business. Her new business was an Etsy shop where she was selling different products online. If you guys are familiar with Etsy, it's pretty much an online platform that allows for you to sell a wide range of different products. When she was growing this business, she had a lot of products and materials that she was purchasing. One of the things that I noticed was that she wasn't keeping track of any of those expenses. And the reason I noticed that was because when she came in to file her tax returns, the first thing that she told me was that she didn't make money in her business, but she did have business expenses. I said, that is great. You're still going to be able to take those expenses once your business is operational, but I need to make sure that you've tracked your expenses. So do you have copies of your receipts? Did you do your bookkeeping and accounting? What did you do to make sure that you're accounting for those expenses? Well, unfortunately, this client that I have didn't keep receipts on any of the expenses that she purchased, nor did she track any of the transactions in any type of format.
Get out of my car now!
She didn't have a receipt book, nor did she have an online program that was tracking the expenses that were being incurred on a month-to-month basis. Unfortunately, I had to let this client know that unless you can find those receipts and do your bookkeeping and accounting, when your business is operational, you're not going to be able to take your startup costs. Guys, if you're a business owner and you've been in this situation before, did you know that startup costs are $5,000 deductible in your first year? That's correct. New business owners can deduct up to $5,000 in expenses in their first year, even though their business may not be profitable. This is great because if you're wanting to reduce your taxes, you may be at a loss in that first year business, which is fine, but you need to make sure that you're tracking your expenses so you can leverage your deductions. Now that we've talked about a story, let's go over the five reasons why good record keeping will save you money on your taxes. Number one, good record keeping helps you identify sources of money or property received from a variety of sources. When you're receiving income, you need to know what income is taxable to you and what's not taxable to you. So if we're not doing good record keeping, we could have money that's coming in that could not be taxable. Let me give you an example. I had a client that was a sole proprietor taxpayer. He was a barber. He received a lot of income coming in the form of Venmo. Well, this client that I had wasn't doing proper record keeping. In the year of 2019, he ended up miscalculating part of the money he received from Venmo as business income, when really some of that income he was receiving were just meals and various different payments from some of his friends and family members. But improper record keeping led him to recording some of those payments as income because he could not remember whether or not it was income or not when it showed up on his report. So what I am stating is, we never want to be in a position where we're overpaying taxes, nor do I want to overpay taxes on money that shouldn't be taxed. Number two, good record keeping can help identify expenses for which a deduction can be claimed. You may forget an expense unless you record it when it occurs. Good record keeping can help you stay on top of your expenses. This also helps taxpayers that are W-2 employees because you may itemize your deductions. Let me give you an example. If you're a W-2 taxpayer, you may have medical and dental expenses that you may not have known that you can deduct on your tax return. When you go to see your tax guy, he may tell you, hey, where are your medical and dental expenses? This year you may qualify. If you didn't keep track of those receipts, or if you don't have statements or reports showing when you made those expenses, you may not be able to take those deductions. So it's important that we have good record keeping, not only for itemized deductions, but if we're a business owner as well. Number three, good record keeping helps us establish the basis in real estate. You need to keep records that show the basis of your property. This includes the original cost or other basis of the property and any improvements you made. When you are a rental real estate investor, you can leverage depreciation, which means that you need to keep track of any improvements that you're making on your property for the duration of you owning that property. This could be years, 20, 30, or as long as you have that asset. Number four, good record keeping can help you prepare tax returns accurately and timely. When you're going to your tax preparer's office, it is so important that you have all of your paperwork in order. Part of the reason why it's important is you may be with a tax preparer that is impatient, that may not have the time and wherewithal to coach you through your deductions. So it's important that you show up with all of your books in order so that when he is filing your returns, that everything gets inputted into the computer program the way it needs to get inputted and that nothing has been missed.
I know that's right.
Not to mention, if you need to file your tax returns in a timely manner, if you have to go back and look for expenses, this could result in a late tax return, which results in penalties and interest fees that none of us want to pay. And number five, if the IRS should examine the return and the taxpayer can't produce correct documents, he or she may have to pay additional taxes and be subject to penalties. This piggybacks off of number four. If we want to avoid paying penalties and interest fees, then we're going to have to file a timely tax return. But many business owners get into situations where they're filing their taxes late and they're going on extension because they're doing their bookkeeping too late. As a business owner, it is very hard to make business decisions in real time, such as buying vehicles, hiring employees, going on vacations, if you don't know what your tax liability is, how much is going to Uncle Sam in the form of a check, and how much you actually get to keep in the form of a refund or just in the form of money that doesn't have to be paid. So if you know your numbers in real time, you can make financial decisions in real time. And this allows for you to file a timely tax return and avoid penalties and interest fees. So now that we know the importance of good record keeping, let's go over how long you need to keep your records for. The IRS has certain provisions on how far back that they can assess you on certain tax returns. Most individuals understand this to be 3 years. However, we as taxpayers and tax preparers know that they can assess you back up to 6 years in certain cases. Section 6501 of IRS Tax Code states that the period for assessment of taxes is extended to 6 years when there has been an omission from gross income on a return of an amount more than 25% of the gross income stated in the return. In layman's terms, this means that if you've understated more than 25% of the gross amount on your return, you can be assessed back up to 6 years. So just hearing that, I know as a taxpayer, I should probably be saving my tax documents longer than 3 years. I should probably be saving my tax documents at a minimum 6 years if the IRS somehow later down the road says that 25% is not being reported on my tax returns and they choose to assess me. I want to be able to go back and have those tax documents ready so I can look at it and say, I don't know. I don't think you're right. Here's the proof that I was doing things the correct way. This is how we protect ourselves. Let's go over a situation where you might need to hold on to your tax returns indefinitely. Philip, a taxpayer, hasn't filed tax returns since 2006. He is a part of a partnership where he's earning partnership interest income. Since Philip's only earning partnership interest income and no other income, Philip falls beneath the threshold of having a filing requirement. Does Philip, however, have to keep copies of his tax records from the partnership income he is receiving? The answer is yes. Philip has to keep copies of the tax documents that he is receiving. Let's go over the reason why. Because the IRS period for assessment does not start until a taxpayer files a return, it is beneficial for Philip to keep copies of his tax return forever. Because if he were to eventually file a tax return down the road, that is when the period of assessment can begin.
1 eternity later.
So keep in mind, taxpayers, that it is always important to keep copies of your tax documents. As a business owner or as a taxpayer, there are two methods of record keeping. Let's go over these two methods. The first method of record keeping is the checkbook method. The checkbook method is when taxpayers keep records of their income and expenses, amounts, sources of deposits, and type of expenses, such as receipts and sales slips, on a physical checkbook. This is the old school route of how you do your bookkeeping and accounting. And believe it or not, a lot of taxpayers are still doing this old school route of documenting their income and expenses on paper. The second record-keeping system is the electronic record-keeping system. This is the same requirements as the checkbook method, except the IRS requires an electronic storage system. You may have heard of QuickBooks, Intuit, BillPay.com, and even Hurdler. These are all different electronic companies that can track your records online and provide you with a profit and loss statement, a general ledger, a balance sheet, and a cash flow statement from your business. The easiest method to tracking your records is online. And part of the reason why tracking your records is easiest online is because of the ability to take photos of your transactions and have a computer software identify those transactions and populate it into a program and creating rules that can categorize your transactions for itself. If I'm going to Starbucks 40 times in a year, I don't want to have to go in and move Starbucks over into meal and move Starbucks over into meal and move Starbucks over into meal every time I'm having a meal with a business client. I want the program to do it for me, and that's what having an online program does. It makes my life easier so I can be out with business owners doing business and creating business and making meaningful relationships while the program is doing the work for me. AI is so unique, and if we don't adopt AI, guess what we're doing? We're wasting time working too much in our business, doing too much of our bookkeeping and accounting. So if we want to be strategic business owners, we have to adopt one of these record-keeping methods, and I'm urging you to adopt the electronic record-keeping method. So let's dive in more. The electronic storage system has five characteristics, and these five characteristics must exist if you're doing your bookkeeping and accounting as a business owner and you're filing tax returns. The electronic storage system must be able to index, store, preserve, retrieve, and reproduce the electronic stored books and records in legible and readable format. That is so important, that it's in legible and readable format. If you are using an accounting software that is not capable of these five characteristics, I urge you to change accounting programs, because this information comes directly from IRC publication. All accounting systems must be able to provide a complete and accurate, accessible account of your data that can be presented to an IRS revenue agent. Now that we have gone over the methods of record keeping and the easiest ways to go about record keeping, it should be pretty evident that you should be doing your record keeping. But I want to make sure that it's easy for you guys. Please make sure that you're downloading an app right after this video if you haven't already. Most apps provide you with a free trial, and I do recommend utilizing them so you can get familiar with the platform, be able to sync up your bank accounts so everything populates in there so you can get familiar categorizing your transactions. As you get comfortable categorizing your transactions, you will be able to eventually create rules so every time you visit certain locations or you have certain vendors, it will be able to track those expenses and categorize it for you, adapting with how you run your business. If you have any questions or if you need help getting your bookkeeping and accounting set up, please feel free.
Salam and good day to the goddesses and gods. We hope your daily life is going pleasant, divine. If you continue to listen to this record, your psyche is voluntarily entering the terms and agreements of all good and no evil. Anyone who is found utilizing evil will be exiled by the host. And this is a notice and disclaimer inside for the love of commerce. We never give legal advice, and we never practice law. If you are searching for those things, you will have to search somewhere outside for the love of commerce. So for all mention, we offer grace and benevolence.
Peace to the gods, peace to the gods. Yeah, we back. Hope everybody's having a delightful day so far. Yeah, it's just me today. So we gonna get straight to it. Opening all the chats. Let me open all the chats real quick. Yeah, so that was a clip talking about a bookkeeping, you know, and that's what we're going to be talking about today on Financial Fridays. We're going to be getting into bookkeeping. And the reason why this topic needs to be brought up is because this is one of those things where a lot of people don't really touch upon, and I feel like it's critical. It's very critical, especially if people out there is trying to be, I can't say everybody, but people are trying to be entrepreneurs, and you know, you're just starting in business. You don't have the capital or the revenue to go ahead and invest in a professional bookkeeper. You don't have the finances for it, so you have to do it. You have to do it. It's law. It's in law. So it has to be done. And I was listening to the, we had a previous show called, what was that one? Piercing the Corporate Veil. If you haven't checked that one out, you should definitely check it out. Go back into the archives and see how that goes. But yeah, right after that, you could listen to this or listen to this first and then go back to that. You know, I feel like both of those things together will actually help you out, because it talks about, you know, intermingling, you know, private or personal, let me say personal, bank accounts with, you know, your business bank account, and how that can cause you to get audited, or, you know, like they say, they calling it pairs of corporate veil. So, and you can get hit with liability personally. But that's a whole other thing. I just thought I should bring it up so you guys can go ahead and check it out. But anyway, we're gonna get straight into it. Let's go to the private chat, see what we can pull up. All right, so we're going to etymology, right? And we're going to search up the word book. Very simple. And it says book, noun, Middle English, buck. From Old English, buck. Book, writing, written document, generally referred, despite phonetic difficulties, to Proto-Germanic, bucco, from bookies, beach. Source also of German butch. Book, butch, beach, see beach. The notion being of beechwood tablets on which runes were inscribed, but it may be from the tree itself. People still carve initials in them. Latin, and Sanskrit also have words for writing that are based on tree names, birch and ash, respectively, and compare French livre book from Latin librum, originally the inner bark of trees, see library. The sense gradually narrowed by early Middle English to a written work covering many pages fastened together and bound, also a literary composition in any form of however many volumes. Later also bound pages, whether written on or not. In 19th century, it also could mean a magazine. In 20th century, a telephone directory. From C-1200 as a main subdivision of a larger work, the meaning libretto of an opera is from 1768, a betting book, record of bets made, is from 1812, the meaning sum of criminal charges is from 1926. Hence slang phrase throw the book at 1932. Book of life, the role of the chosen for eternal life, is from mid 14th century. Book of the month is from 1926. To do something by the book according to the rules is from 1590s. And we see book verb. That one was book noun. So this one now is book verb. Middle English, booking. From Old English, bookan. To grant or assign by charter. From book noun, the meaning write down, record, enter into a book, is from C-1200. The Old English sense is because the first books in English were records of grants or conveyances of land. The meaning to register a name for a set of place, for a seat of or place. Issue railway tickets is from 1841. That of to engage a performer as a guest is from 1872. U.S. student slang meaning to depart hastily, go fast, is by 1977. Of uncertain signification. Related booking. Yeah, and that was the definition right there for book, you know, to write down, record, enter into a book, you know. It also says written documents and just writing. So we're going to go on to the next word. Let's click it up, let's see. And the next word is keeping. All right, we're going to go to keeping, noun, care, custody, charge, C-1300, verbal noun, from keep, verb, phrase in keeping with, in harmony, or agreement with. 1806 is from use of keeping in the jargon of painting to refer to a pleasing harmony of the elements of a picture. 1715. So we can see that this keeping is not a noun, and it says care, custody, and charge, right? So, and it also says to keep in harmony and agreement with. So if we put book together with keeping, just writing written documents, and how can I put that? Written documents kept with in harmony. Let's put it like that. Written documents kept in harmony, right? Everything has to be in agreement. inside this written book that is kept. So so yeah, we're gonna go ahead and go back into the private chat, and we're gonna read, open up Wikipedia, and it says bookkeeping. Bookkeeping is the recording of financial transactions and is part of the process of accounting in business and other organizations. It involves preparing sources, documents for all transactions, operations, and other events of a business. Transactions include purchases, sales, receipts, and payments by an individual person or an organization or corporation. There are several standard methods of bookkeeping, including the single entry and double entry booking systems. While these may be viewed as real bookkeeping, any process for recording financial transactions is a bookkeeping process. Anyway, they got a photo here. That's the fuck. I guess they say P-A-C-I-O-L-I, Pacioli, is regarded as the father of accounting. I'll have to look into him. Definitely. And it says, the person in an organization who is employed to perform bookkeeping functions is usually called the bookkeeper or bookkeeper. They usually write the day books, which contains records of sales, purchases, receipts, and payments, and document each financial transaction, whether cash or credit, into the correct day book, that is petty cash book, supplier's ledger, customer ledger, etc., and the general ledger. Therefore, an accountant can create financial reports from the information recorded by the bookkeeper. The bookkeeper brings the books to the trial balance stage, from which an accountant may prepare financial reports for the organization, such as the income statement and balance sheet. And we're going to get deeper into those definitions, right, on talking about the trial balance and income statement, balance sheet, and, you know, financial reports in general. And if we click, we're going to go over the day books real quick, right? Because they talked about the day books in there. And we're going to go into this. So I clicked the hyperlink, right, for day books. And it say a day book is a descriptive and chronological diary-like record of day-to-day financial transactions. It is also called a book of original entry. The day book's details must be transcribed formally into journals to enable posting to ledgers. And ledgers just mean just a record book, you know. So let me finish here. And it says day books include sales day book for recording sales invoices, sales credit day book for recording sales credit notes, purchases day books for recording purchase invoices, purchases debits day book for recording purchase debit notes. And it says cash day books, usually known as the cash book, for recording all monies received and all monies paid out. It may be split into two day books, a receipt day book documenting every money amount received and a payment day book recording every payment made. General journal day book for recording journal entries. So that was all the day books, you know, and a day book, you know, chronologically record financial transactions day to day. So if you got a business, you got to be recording day by day transactions. Even if you didn't have any transactions, I would still record it as zero. Have some type of, you know, day books. Just to make sure you're on point, stay organized. But yeah, what's the time? Like, yeah, we're running up on the 30 minute mark. So we'll probably go ahead and take a little short break. And then come back and just get straight to it. Alright, peace to the gods.
Okay, nothing can get me down. No way, no way, no, not today, no. Okay, nothing can get me down. No way, no way, no, not today, no. Okay, nothing can get me down. No way, no way, no, not today, no way. No way. Wave my troubles bye-bye. Bye-bye, bye. Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. Everybody sing along, God Jah know the things and the times them set away. Wonders and signs, we are stress away. Nothing found with mind, we are fret away. Sing a happy tune, me no want hear bad news. Oh, bad mind and bad things, now keep bad company. So when them come with them negativity, wave my hands in the air and say bye-bye. Bye-bye, bye. Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. Now we're in our side. Bye-bye, bye. Chant a happy chance, one laugh, oh, me one laugh and dance, oh, me want to dance. Give thanks for life with a grateful heart, oh my, what a joy when we do that. Want a better day, so pray me, I go pray, and forget the things from the past that make me frown. So when them sing they, I try to come around, I wave my hands in the air and say bye-bye. Can't bother with soul. Nothing, nothing, nah, nah, worry, we know. No.
Salam and good day to the goddesses and gods. We hope your daily life is going pleasant, divine. If you continue to listen to this record, your psyche is voluntarily entering the terms and agreements of all good and no evil. Anyone who is found utilizing evil will be exiled by the host. And this is a notice and disclaimer inside for the love of commerce. We never give legal advice and we never practice law. If you are searching for those things, you will have to search somewhere outside for the love of commerce. So for all mention, we offer grace and benevolence.
Peace to the gods. We back. So yeah, for those just tuning in, we're talking about bookkeeping. We're talking about bookkeeping right now. You know, and so far we know that bookkeeping, you know, records all financial transactions that happen inside of the business. You know, keeping track, keeping records, just in case we get audited. You know, people get audited, you know, they putting too much on their taxes, certain percentages is not looking right, things is erroneous. So just gotta make sure that you on point. And that's why a lot of people do end up paying for a bookkeeper. And I'm talking, when I mean a lot of people, I mean a lot of people who stay in business for a long time. I don't mean a lot of people who do business just in general. No. But yeah, we're going to go back into the private chat, right? Let's see what we could pick up. So yeah, we're gonna go and click the link where it says now process, right? So we're gonna go over the process of bookkeeping. And it says the primary purpose of bookkeeping is to record the financial effects of transactions. An important difference between a manual and an electronic accounting system is the former's latency between the recording of a financial transaction and its posting in the relevant account. So using an electronic one could help you out with posting any financial transaction into the right account, right? You know, you don't want to put food, you don't want to have something, a food transaction going under a traveling expense or something like that, you know, just inside the wrong area. And it says, this delay, which is absent, and it says this delay, which is absent in electronic accounting system due to nearly instantaneous posting to relevant accounts, is characterized of manual systems and gave rise to the primary books of accounts, cash book, purchase book, sales book, etc. For immediately documenting a financial transaction. In the normal course of business, a document is produced each time a transaction occurs. Sales and purchases usually have invoices or receipts. So, I'm sure everybody, well, I'm not going to assume. So yeah, we know if you're purchasing something, you're going to get an invoice. If you have purchased something, you should still get a purchase invoice or a receipt. So let's continue. Historically, deposit slips were produced when lodgements, aka deposits, were made to a bank account, and checks spelled CHEQUES in the UK and several other countries were written to pay money out of the account. Nowadays, such transactions are mostly made electronically. Bookkeeping first involves recording the details of all of these source documents into multi-column journals, also known as books of first entry or daybooks, and we went over the daybooks. For example, all credit sales are recorded in the sales journal, all cash payments are recorded in the cash payments journal. Each column in a journal normally corresponds to an account. In the single entry system, each transaction is recorded only once. Most individuals who balance their checkbook each month are using such a system, and most personal finance software follows this approach. So let's see. After a certain period, typically a month, each column in each journal is totaled to give a summary for that period. Using the rules of double entry, these journal summaries are then transferred to their respective accounts in the ledger or account book. So see, the ledger, account book, same. For example, the entries in the sales journal are taken and a debit entry is made in each customer's account, showing that the customer now owes us money. And a credit entry might be made in the account for sale of class 2 widgets. Showing that this activity has generated revenue for us. This process of transferring summaries or individual transactions to the ledger is called posting. Once the posting process is complete, accounts kept using the T format, debits on the left side of the T and credits on the right side of the T, undergo balancing, which is simply a process to arrive at the balance of the account. As a partial check that the posting process was done correctly, a working document called an unadjusted trial balance is created. In its simplest form, this is a three-column list. Column 1 contains the names of those accounts in the ledger which have a non-zero balance. If an account has a debit balance, the balance amount is copied into column 2, the debit column. If an account has a credit balance, the amount is copied into column 3, the credit column. The debit column is then total, and then the credit column is total. The two totals must agree, which is not by chance, because under the double entry rules, whenever there is a posting, the debits of the posting equal the credits of the posting. If the two totals do not agree, an error has been made, either in the journals or during the posting process. The error must be located and rectified, and the totals of the debit column and the credit column recalculated to check for agreement before any further processing can take place. So yeah, I think I like that that method right there. And it says, once the account's balance, the accountant makes a number of adjustments and changes the balance amounts of some of the accounts. These adjustments must still obey the double entry rule. For example, the inventory account, an asset account, might be changed to bring them into line with the actual members counted during a stock tape. Hold on. We're going to click on the hyperlink that says stock tape before we move on. Just click that. And it says stock taking or inventory checking or wall to wall is the physical verification of the quantities and condition of items held in an inventory or warehouse. Okay, so stock taking is just, you know, inventory checking. All right, so let's reread that sentence. All right, let's read that. And it says, these adjustments must still obey the double entry rule. For example, the inventory account and asset account might be changed to bring them into line with the actual numbers counted during a stock take. At the same time, the expense account associated with use of inventory is adjusted by an equal and opposite amount. Other adjustments such as posting depreciation and prepayments are also done at this time. This results in a listing called the adjusted trial balance. It is the accounts in the list and their corresponding debit or credit balances that are used to prepare the financial statements. And then it says, finally, financial statements are drawn from the trial balance, which may include the income statement, the balance sheet, the cash flow statement, and the statement of changes in equity. So let's go over that one real quick. So we're going to go and check out what financial statements is. We're going to click that hyperlink real quick. And it says financial statements or financial reports are formal records of the financial activities and position of a business, person, or other entity. And it says, relevant financial information is presented in a structured manner and in a form which is easy to understand. They typically include four basic financial statements accompanied by a management discussion and analysis. So yeah, the financial statement is aka a financial report, you know, that shows the financial activity and the position of a person. So, you know, you could tell if I could make payments, if I have space for new purchases, I should say, ahead of time, or do I need to cut back? You can see by your financial statement. Let's see. We're going to go back. And it says the income statement, also known as the statement of financial results, profit and loss account, or P&L. And then it got the balance sheet, also known as the statement of financial position. And it says the cash flow statement. And next is the statement of changes in equity, also known as the statement of total recognized gains and losses. So honestly, I'm curious, right? Because I know a lot of people are not, I wouldn't say a lot of people, but some people won't go ahead and look into them a little bit. So I'll read it for you guys for right now. And it says, an income statement or profit and loss account is one of the financial statements of a company and shows the company's revenues and expenses during a particular period. Right? And it said it indicates how the revenue, also known as the top line, are transferred into the net income or net profit, the result after all revenues and expenses have been accounted for. The purpose of the income statement is to show managers and investors whether the company made money, profit, or lost during the period being reported. An income statement represents a period of time, as does the cash flow. And it says this contrasts with the balance sheet, which represents a single moment. So yeah, that was the income statement. You know, it shows you, is the company, you know, making a profit, or is the company making a loss during a certain time period based on what you're looking at, right? And we're going to go, right, we're going to go on and click. Who's on financial statement, right? And we're going to go to, we did income statement. Let's go to balance sheet. All right, it says balance sheet. In financial accounting, a balance sheet, also known as statement of financial position or statement of financial condition, is a summary of the financial balances of an individual or organization, whether it is a sole proprietorship, a business partnership, a corporation, private limited company, or other organizations such as government or not-for-profit entities. Assets, liabilities, and ownership equity are listed as of a specific date, such as the end of its fiscal year. Well, yeah, at end of its financial year. A balance sheet is often described as a snapshot of a company's financial condition. It is a summary of each and every financial statement of an organization. Of the four basic financial statements, the balance sheet is the only statement which applies to a single point in time of a business calendar year. A standard company balance sheet has two sides, assets on the left and financing on the right, which itself has two parts, liabilities and ownership equity. The main categories of assets are usually listed first and typically in order of liquidity. Assets are followed by the liabilities. The difference between the assets and the liabilities is known as equity, or the net assets, or the net worth or capital of the company. And according to the accounting equation, net worth must equal assets minus liabilities. Another way to look at the balance sheet equation is that total assets equal liabilities plus owner's equity. Looking at the equation in this way shows how assets were financed, either by borrowing money, which is like it says liability, or by using the owner's money, owner's or shareholder's equity. balance sheets are also, well, balance sheets are usually presented with assets in one section and liabilities and net worth in the other section, with the two sections balancing. A business operating entirely in cash can measure its profits by withdrawing the entire bank balance at the end of the period plus any cash in hand. However, many businesses are not paid immediately. They build up in inventories of goods and acquire buildings and equipment. In other words, businesses have assets, and so they cannot, even if they want to, immediately turn these into cash at the end of each period. Often these businesses owe money to suppliers and to tax authorities, and the proprietors do not withdraw all their original capital and profits at the end of each period. In other words, businesses also have liabilities. And an example would be like grocery stores. You know, they don't get immediate, you know, cash. Sometimes they gotta wait. Sometimes they gotta do, how can I say it? Sometimes they just gotta wait. But that was the balance sheet. Now we're gonna go to cash flow. And it says cash flow. In financial accounting, a cash flow statement, also known as statement of cash flows, is a financial statement that shows how changes in balance sheet accounts and income affects cash and cash equivalents, and breaks the analysis down to operating, investing, and financing activities. Essentially, the cash flow statement is concerned with the flow of cash in and out of the business. As an analytical tool, the statement of cash flow is useful in determining the short-term viability of a company, particularly its ability to pay bills. International Accounting Standard 7, IAS 7, is the international accounting standard that deals with cash flow statements. People and groups interested in cash flow statements include accounting personnel who need to know whether the organization will be able to cover payroll and other immediate expenses, potential lenders or creditors who want a clear picture of a company's ability to repay, and it says potential employees or, well, no, it says potential investors who need to judge whether the company is financially sound, potential employees or contractors who need to know whether the company will be able to afford compensation, company directors who are responsible for the governance of the company and are responsible for ensuring that the company does not trade with insolvent. And it says shareholders of the company. So the cash flow is very important. You know, the cash flow can tell you analytical data, you know, that shows how the money's coming in, how the money's going out, the flow of the cash throughout the business. Is it profitable? Is it not? Should I lend to this person? Or should I not lend to this person from a creditor standpoint or an investor standpoint? You know? So yeah, if you really want to have good creditors, good lenders, and good investors, you have to get your cash flow statement looking real good, because that's what they're pulling. true investors. That's what they're pulling. All right. So let's go. Now we're going to the statement of changes in equity. And equity just means like the money that you put in the business like out of pocket. That's based on my knowledge, you know, and that's the most basic way I could put it. And it says a statement of changes in equity, and similarly the statement of changes in owner's equity for a sole trader, statement of changes in partner's equity for a partnership, statement of changes in shareholder's equity for a company, or statements of changes in taxpayer's equity. For governmental financial statements is one of the four basic financial statements. The statement explains the changes in the company's share capital, accumulated reserves, and retained earnings over the reporting period. It breaks down changes in the owner's interest in the organization and in the application of retained profit or surplus from one accounting period to the next. And surplus just means like what's left over, just in case nobody didn't know. And it says line items. Hold on, I gotta fact check myself now. Let me make sure. Pretty sure that's what it is. Yeah, but if not, you guys, I gotta fact check myself. Give me one second. I didn't want to get lost. But let's see. Yeah, and it says surplus, that which remains above what is used or needed. So you could say leftovers. All right, so let me go back to where I was at. It's almost done, you guys. You know, just felt like this show was needed to be explained a little bit more, expound on to a certain extent, because it looks scary, but when you understand it, it's really not. And it said it breaks down changes in the owner's interest in the organization and in the application of retained profit or surplus from one accounting period to the next. Line items typically include profits or losses from operations, dividends paid, issue or redemption of shares, revaluation reserve, and any other items charged or credited to accumulated other comprehensive income. It also includes the non-controlling interest attributable to other individuals and organizations. The statement is expected under the general accepted accounting principles and explains the owner's equity shown on the balance sheet. And it says owner's, and it got an equation down here, look like. It says owner's equity equal assets minus liabilities. Right. So let's go back. Let's see how far we could go back. History process. All right, this is the last two and we're out of here. So a single entry system, and it says the primary bookkeeping record in single entry bookkeeping is the cash book, which is similar to a check-in account register in UK check account, current account, except all entries are allocated among several categories of income and expense accounts. Separate account records are maintained for petty cash accounts payable and accounts receivable, and other relevant transactions such as inventory and travel expenses to save time and avoid the errors of manual calculations. Single entry bookkeeping can be done today with do-it-yourself bookkeeping softwares. Now make sure to play a clip that also breaks down this in a better way. You know, if you feel like this is sounding like scientific jargon to you or something, but I think it's self-explanatory. And it says, double entry system. A double entry bookkeeping system is a set of rules for recording financial information in a financial accounting system in which every transaction or event changes at least two different nominal ledger accounts. Let's see if we could find some examples for when it would change. Let's see what we got. Example. I'm just typing it in. Give me 1 second. And it says, in the double entry system of accounting, every transaction affects at least two accounts. One account is debited and another account is credited. Here's a simple example to illustrate the double entry system. Let's say a business owner invests $10,000 of their personal funds into the business bank account. And it says, transaction, the business owner invests $10,000 of personal funds into the business bank account. Double entry recording. A, debit. The business bank account is increased by $10,000, representing the inflow of cash into the account. Therefore, the cash account is debited by $10,000. That's true. And then the next one, it says B, credit. To balance the entry, another account must be credited. Since the business owner's equity in the business increases due to the investment, the owner's equity account is credited by $10,000. Okay, that makes sense. And it says journal entry, debit, bank account, asset, $10,000. And it says credit, owner's equity, $10,000. And it says that this transaction adheres to the principles of the double entry system. The total debits equal the total credits, and the accounting equation, assets equal liabilities plus owner's equity, remains balanced. Additionally, it provides a clear record of how each transaction affects the business financial position. So yeah, guys, that's all for the show. It's a beautiful show. I really enjoy it. It's delightful. And yeah, we was just talking about what? Bookkeeping. Very essential, very critical. And making sure the books is balanced. Everything is matching up with each other in agreeance or in harmony, right? And just keeping stuff, like he said, like the guy in the clip said earlier, you know, keeping stuff for a long period of time, not just throwing away it, because anytime you can get audited, you might want to have these for records to show people how long you've been in business, how your business has rised, you know. People really want to see this, especially investors. They want to see your capabilities. It tells you your capability as a business. But anyway, like I said, beautiful show. I'll catch you guys here on Sunday. You know, Knowledgeable Sundays. I'll be here for that one. So, peace to the gods. This is a little clip I got here. You know, breaking it down a little simple.
Hey guys, Crystal A, CPA and QuickBooks Certified Pro Advisor here with Life Accounting, where we help you to save on taxes and build your wealth. And in today's video, I want to help you do just that by going over the basics of QuickBooks for small businesses. Now, most of us have at least heard of QuickBooks and know that it is a commonly used software used for bookkeeping. So also in today's training, I'll be going over the basics of bookkeeping so you can better understand how QuickBooks works and how to properly use the platform. Specifically, we are going to go over what is bookkeeping, why it is important, and how it works, the basics of QuickBooks, including how to set up your chart of accounts, how to connect your bank accounts, classifying transactions, reconciling accounts, and running reports. So if all of that sounds good to you, then please go ahead and like this video and don't forget to subscribe. Let's go ahead and dive in. So what is bookkeeping? Bookkeeping is simply the process of keeping track of the financial transactions in your business. That's it. It includes keeping track of things like your sales, invoices, expenses, bills, inventory, loans, payroll, and much, much more. As a business owner, you want to make sure that you're keeping track of all of the financial transactions in your business so you can easily manage your financial resources, or in other words, create a business budget. And you want to do this because creating a business budget creates a financial roadmap for your business so there aren't any surprises regarding how much money you have. Prepare your taxes. Most businesses have to file a tax return every single year, and the only way for your tax return to be accurate is by having your bookkeeping in order. And lastly, make better business decisions. You'll see by the end of this training that the product of your bookkeeping is a financial statement. Savvy business owners regularly review their financial statements to make important decisions regarding their business. It helps you answer questions like, can I afford this? What are the financial impacts of that? Would this or that add value to my business? These are just a few questions you might ask yourself as a business owner. Ultimately, the answers to these types of questions and more are found in your bookkeeping and will help you make good business decisions. So you understand what bookkeeping is and why it is important, but how does it work? Answering this question will be the perfect segue into the QuickBooks training part of this video. Think of bookkeeping as a cycle. It first starts with a business transaction. Whether you are receiving or spending money, it doesn't quite matter because all financial transactions impact your bookkeeping. Now, as a result of this business transaction, there should be some type of source documentation. This could be in the form of a receipt, invoice, or note payable, etc. Source documentation is used to record transactions in QuickBooks. But if you're like most business owners, you might find it difficult to keep up with every little receipt, so having your monthly bank statement is a great alternative. The next part of the bookkeeping cycle is classifying your transactions into one of five categories, the first being revenue, second expenses, assets, liabilities, and equity. Revenue is what you earn, like your sales. Expenses are what you pay out, like advertising or payroll. Assets are what you own, like your inventory. Liabilities are what you owe, like loans or credit cards. And equity is what you have invested in your business, like contributions you make to your business. This part of the bookkeeping cycle is especially important because how you classify your financial transactions will determine how your financial statements are presented and interpreted by you. This is the bookkeeping cycle in a nutshell. First, a transaction. Second, source documents, and third, classifying transactions. Now that you have a basic understanding of bookkeeping and how it works, let's transition your newfound knowledge into QuickBooks. So hopefully you have a QuickBooks subscription to get started with here. Just as a quick overview, QuickBooks offers different subscription levels, which each have their own distinct features. QuickBooks would like to tell you that the Plus version is most popular, but most of the small businesses that I've worked with have started with Essentials. Once you have a QuickBooks subscription, the next thing you want to do is set up your chart of accounts. Your chart of accounts is a complete listing of your company's accounts and their balances. They are accounts or categories that you will place your transactions in. Here is what a completed chart of accounts looks like. As you can see, each account has a name, type, detail type, and balance, all of which would need to be entered when setting up each account. And here's how you set up an account in your chart of accounts. Let's say you want to set up an account for office rent so you can start keeping track of your office lease payments. On the chart of accounts screen, you would click on the green button, New. Select your account type, which for office rent would be expenses. When you choose expenses, a set of detail types are generated, and you would select the type that best describes the account you are creating. So in our case, office rent would best fall under the rent or lease of buildings, and you can even see a little description of the detail type to help you choose. After that, you would name the account, office rent, and this is the name that would appear on your chart of accounts and financial statements. Then hit save and close. Once you're back on the chart of accounts main page, you'll see this new account saved. Now there are a few things to note here. One, it is critically important that you select the correct account type for each account. Assets should be assets, revenue should be revenue, and so on. When you improperly set up an expense as an asset, for example, that account will show up on the wrong financial statement and incorrectly present your company's financials. And that is a disaster. Make sure to read the description for each account so you can avoid making this mistake. Two, you may find that you want to show subcategories for some of your account types. For example, you may want to show the different types of advertising your company is doing, like Facebook ads and print ads. To do this, you would follow the same steps as before, except before hitting save and close, you would check the box for subaccount and choose the main account you want the subaccount to fall under. Then you would hit save and close, and the subaccount should be directly under the main account on the chart of accounts screen. Three, make sure to create an account for nearly all of the transactions you plan to have in your business. You don't want to get in the habit of categorizing transactions under other or miscellaneous. This could cause you to miss out on some very valuable deductions come tax time. You also want to be able to understand and properly manage your company's financials. And if too many transactions are under miscellaneous, that could be confusing to you. QuickBooks does start you off with a basic account list for the chart of accounts, but it's important for you to customize this list for your business and what is important for you. Once you have your chart of accounts set up, next you'll want to connect your business bank account. If you don't have a separate bank account for just your business, make sure to open one and run all of your business transactions through that account and never use it for personal transactions. This will make bookkeeping for your business so much easier, especially when using QuickBooks, because your bank transactions will automatically show up in QuickBooks. Furthermore, if you operate an LLC, S-Corp, or C-Corp, it is legally required for you to have a separate business bank account. If not, you can find yourself in a whole lot of trouble. So go ahead and get a free EIN number from the IRS website, which is required to open most business bank accounts, and establish at least one business checking account. Now, to connect your business bank account in QuickBooks, navigate to the banking screen and select Link Account. From here, choose the appropriate banking institution you have your business account set up with and log in with your online banking credentials. Follow the prompts to connect your account. One of the last things it'll ask you is from what date do you want to import transactions? You would choose the date you want to start your bookkeeping from. As a good rule of thumb, it is wise to start from the beginning of the tax year or January 1st. This will import all of your bank transactions from the selected date. Now, when you go back to the banking screen, you should see your imported bank account listed at the top and the list of transactions underneath it. Now that you have your bank account and transactions connected to QuickBooks, the next thing you need to do is to classify your transactions. Do you remember the chart of accounts you set up in the beginning? Well, it comes to play right here. On the banking screen for each transaction, you'll want to select the appropriate vendor or customer name. If the vendor or customer name is not there, just type it in and create a new vendor or new customer. Next, and this is the most important part, choose the correct category. The categories listed is simply a reflection of your chart of accounts. If the transaction was for office rent, select office rent. Or if it was for sales, select sales. Then hit add. Repeat this process for each transaction in each bank account. If you're unsure how to classify a transaction and need to come back to it later, you can always categorize it under an AX account until you know how to correctly classify it. Once you add a transaction, it gets included in your books and will show up on your company's financial statements. But before you generate your financial statements, you want to make sure that all of the bank transactions in your books are properly recorded and accounted for. This process is called reconciliation and is the next step in bookkeeping for your business using QuickBooks. Reconciling your transactions is the practice of determining any differences between the balance shown on your bank statement and in your bookkeeping system. You want to make sure that none of your transactions are missing or double counted in your QuickBooks. Performing a bank reconciliation at least monthly will help you catch errors or even billing mistakes made by your vendors. To do this in QuickBooks, you would start on the banking screen and go to Bank Register. This screen shows all of the transactions that have been added to a particular bank account. From here, click on Reconcile. On the next screen, you want to make sure that you have the right bank account selected and enter in your ending balance and ending date according to your bank statement. So, in order to do the reconciliation process, make sure to have your monthly bank statement handy. You'll need it. Once you enter the ending balance and ending date, start reconciling. On the next screen, you'll check off each transaction in QuickBooks that you see on the bank statement. This is the perfect time to catch any bookkeeping errors and also make sure your transactions are classified correctly. This process double checks that everything that is in QuickBooks actually occurred and is also on the bank statement. By the time you go through the transactions, your difference should be zero. If it is not, then there is an error with your beginning balance, ending balance, or you mistakenly checked a transaction that was not on the bank statement, or there is a missing transaction in QuickBooks. Keep in mind that any transactions that were not matched to a bank statement transaction should likely be removed from your books to avoid misrepresentation of your numbers, and any missing transactions should be added in. If you want to learn more about troubleshooting your bank reconciliations, please let me know in the comments. But once your difference is zero, you can hit Finish Now. After you go through this process, you should feel comfortable that your books, as of the ending date, are complete and accurate. The last step in this QuickBooks training is to run your financial report, specifically the balance sheet and income statement or profit and loss statement. The balance sheet shows your outstanding balance in assets, liabilities, and equity. The income statement shows your profit or loss for a specific period. Each of these reports should be prepared and reviewed at least monthly. But don't worry, the bulk of the work has already been done once all of your transactions are classified and reconciled. Preparing the reports is usually the easy part. To do this, navigate to the Reports menu and click or search for the balance sheet. Select the report period, or you can always hit custom and select the dates you want to look at. Choose either cash or accrual as the accounting method. Most small businesses tend to be cash basis, but I'll link a video in the description to help you figure out if you are cash or accrual based. And then hit Run Report. Here you'll see all of your company's assets, liabilities, and equity as of the ending date of the report. The balance sheet tells you how much your company owns and how much it owes. Now let's look at the income statement. On the report screen, search for profit and loss. Select the report period, or you can always hit custom and select the dates you want to look at. choose cash or accrual, and then hit run report. Here you'll see all of your company's income and expenses within the report period date range. The profit and loss statement tells you how profitable your company is. Congratulations, you now have a better understanding of what bookkeeping is and how to set up your bookkeeping in QuickBooks. As an overview, remember bookkeeping is the process of